Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as I've utilized information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and the resulting outcomes. But one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special day, Saturday, May the 6th, the first day of National Nurses Week. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Margo Scadillo. Margo has been a registered nurse for over 33 years, spending the majority of that time in emergency medicine. She has worked in many roles as a nursing assistant, an entry-level licensed practical nurse, and then returned to school multiple times before completing her Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Margo worked for over 25 years in the St. Joseph's healthcare system and the last 4 years in oncology. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Margo.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure and my honor to be with you.
Thanks so much. The pleasure and honor actually all mine this morning. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from today, please.
Currently, I'm in Wayne, New Jersey.
Wonderful, wonderful town. I know it well from having lived in Clifton all those years, certainly. Sadly, Margo, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours speaking about you, your incredible life, this amazing vocation as a nurse. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool, if that's okay with you.
Fantastic.
Curious, you said you're speaking from Wayne, New Jersey. Were you born in Wayne and attended elementary and secondary schools there?
I was born in northern New Jersey, but the vast majority of my childhood and education were spent in Wayne, New Jersey.
Oh, that's terrific. Were there some specific schools that you went to
I
in Wayne?
did. There's two high schools in Wayne Valley and Wayne Hills. I attended Wayne Valley High School. And then I attended college locally also. I attended college both at Bergen Pines School of Nursing, which is was a hospital-based licensing program. Then I attended Bergen Community College. I spent some time at William Patterson University, and then I finished my Bachelor of Science online.
Wow. Oh, this is amazing, your story from an education standpoint alone. And we're going to talk more about this as we go along. But I do want to get a couple of thoughts from you way back when you were in high school, if that's okay. Growing up, did you always have this dream, this big dream of becoming a nurse?
For as far back as I can remember, I wanted to be a nurse. I always wanted to be a nurse. I don't know where that started, but I loved caring for things as a child, maybe like animals and things like that. And I definitely wanted to be a nurse. During high school, I didn't love high school as much as probably I should have. And I was able to get involved in a work program. And at the work program, I was able to work locally at a nursing home in the afternoons. And that kind of solidified my desire to be a nurse. And I knew I was going in the right direction. It took several starts and stops to get me to where I am now. But I always loved nursing.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And it's ironic because as a senior at Paul the Sixth Regional High School in Clifton, I had the great fortune of going to school in the morning and then working in the afternoon. And that's how I got into big pharmaceuticals. And that's how I actually got to Seton Hall. I could never afford a college of the ilk of Seton Hall. And lo and behold, Roche said, if you come to work full time, we'll pay your education at night. And it was a long journey, but one worthwhile, very much so. So we're going to go back again. You graduate high school and you've got a decision to make. Do I go to work? What do I do? Or you could go to college. Share with us a little bit of what happened after you graduated high school, please.
I graduated high school, and again, my grades reflected my ambivalence about high school. So I didn't have huge options, but I did have two parents who were educators. Both of my parents had taught English, history, and then went back and became adult educators. So I had the influence of great teachers in my own house, and I was strongly encouraged to continue my education. I just couldn't see myself sitting in college for 4 years, is how I looked at it.
Sure.
It just seemed so far away. So I was able to do it in smaller increments, going first for my licensed practical nurse, took about a year. And then I was able to work, which felt great to me. I've always been highly motivated by working. And then I could see the need for more education while I was working. And it is very much encouraged as a nurse that you continuously learn, whether it's through certification, ongoing classes, see, continuing education units. But I love learning. I just couldn't do 4 years straight. And then financially, it was also a burden to me. I got married fairly young, and I wanted to work and I needed to work. So I was able to work. Nursing is a very dynamic profession. You can work on weekends, you can work at night. So it allows you to continue your education while you're working. At that time, there was less tuition reimbursement. The hospitals have become better about educating their nurses and having more highly educated nurses now. So
That's
I did it in increments because I both needed to work and also I loved to work.
That's terrific. It sounds like you're more like me, really a experiential learner and someone who will be in the classroom learning, etc. You have had, Margot, some amazing highlights of your professional journey since beginning college. Share with us about some of these highlights, please.
There's almost too many to think of like very specifics, but I've been at the bedside. I find my most satisfaction in my career and probably as a person by being at the bedside. And I have seen things that are incredible. I've witnessed babies being born in an emergency room. I've witnessed or had the honor of being at the bedside when people passed from this life to the next. And there's like almost kind of a sacredness to those moments where you're with somebody during very either challenging or very exciting times of their life. And I've seen children who were so dramatically injured, and then you see them years later. I had a child who had been burned, and then she came in bouncing in years later for, something minor, and I couldn't believe it was the same child that I had seen years before. So in emergency medicine, you don't see the continuum with your patients as much as you do in other longer term relationships between a nurse and a patient, where I see that now in oncology, where people come in, they're devastated by their diagnosis. You try to help them through the difficult times, and hopefully you see them come out on the other side well, and that's extremely gratifying. So in the emergency room, I had short bursts of very exciting moments or very tragic moments, and your job was to support the patient or family through those tragedies or celebrate with them during the happier times. Whereas in oncology, you have a longer relationship with many of your patients, which is equally as gratifying and sometimes a little bit more challenging when things aren't going well for them.
We're going to talk about both of these a little more. We're going to peel the onion, if you don't mind, because if I perceive from what you said, in an emergency setting, there are sometimes someone would come in to deliver a baby. Did I hear this correctly?
It was more accidental that maybe their timing was a little bit off, or it was a little bit, things moved along a little bit faster than they thought they would. So, one instance, one of the patients delivered in a car in the waiting area and where you pull up to the emergency room. And I just happened to be in triage and one of the doctors and I went out and there was a brand new baby. So, that was very exciting for everyone.
Oh my goodness. So she just didn't realize she was going to deliver at that
That
time.
quickly.
Wow. Well, that is absolutely amazing, certainly. And I would imagine in emergency medicine, you were dealing with all kinds of situations, as you say, maybe somebody who was burned. I don't know if there was any time there had been maybe a fight or something and a stab wound or anything to that nature, or even something a little bit worse. Did you ever have to deal with any of these, Margo?
Absolutely. I worked in a level two regional trauma center, a Catholic hospital that did a tremendous amount of charity medicine. And we were kind of there as a safety net for the community. And unfortunately, the city that it was in Paterson, New Jersey, is economically challenged. It's a very diverse town with a tremendous amount of wonderful people, and then a small segment of, the population, which really violence is kind of a regular occurrence. So there were
Oh,
plenty of days that there were stabbings, beatings, shootings, unfortunately.
wow.
And for the most part, in the adult emergency room, you kind of rolled with that. But when kids were involved, it was very challenging for the staff, the family, more so the family, obviously, and the children. But the fact that they actually lived with violence as a regular occurrence in their neighborhood or their own families was very daunting to witness.
That was all those great years of contribution and love that you showed in emergency medicine. Now you're in oncology, and for those who might not be totally familiar, is this cancer patients when you say oncology? Is that pretty much what you're dealing with or with whom you're dealing with now?
It is. I work now for Memorial Sloan Kettering in an outpatient setting. And those patients have cancer diagnoses. It can be, they do take care of children. They do tremendous work with children. I primarily work with adults. I can take care of children, but primarily my focus is in the adult setting for people who are having complications in a clinic that cares for the patients that are having an unexpected event, whether it be fever related to their treatment because they're immunocompromised or at much higher risk for infection, is a layman's term for it. So they, if they come in contact with someone who's ill or just they have no ability to fight off infection, we try to get them through those rough spots, or if they need a blood transfusion or any number of symptoms that can occur for people who are actively being treated for cancer, that's the area that I work in now. So there's other areas, the clinic nurses that are specific to a lung cancer patient or a gastric cancer patient or a brain cancer patient. I deal with any type of those patients, but only in the time that they're having an unexpected event during their treatment.
Wow, thank God that you are there to provide hope and healing and soothing and balm, certainly, to these patients going through these very, very difficult times. You've shared quite a bit with us already about the duties, responsibilities of a nurse. Are there any others that you'd like to share with our listeners and me this morning?
Nursing is a very, it's all encompassing. You do physical care for people. So it's the longer you're in it, maybe it becomes a little bit more physically challenging sometimes. The emergency room I was in was basically by size, the size of a football field, and had 80 beds and then an additional probably 20 in the hallways. So you logged a
Wow.
lot of steps. When I would check my steps, I definitely got my exercise. You're pushing stretchers, you're moving patients, you're trying to move them into positions of comfort. In the outpatient setting, I do a lot of direct patient care. So drawing blood, starting IVs, giving medication, caring for wounds, things like that. And then there's the other side of it, the thinking part of, am I giving the right medication? Am I calculating this correctly? Am I providing what they need? And then the psychosocial part of, is this person having a stomach ache because they have a stomach problem, or are they lonely, or they don't have the nutrition that they need? So there's a physical part, an educational part, and then a psychosocial part, all in a day's work. So it can be challenging, but it's super rewarding.
That is amazing. We're going to talk very shortly about the rewards of nursing. I'd like to go back, if it's okay, with you a little bit about education. I know you've been involved in nursing for decades now, but today, is there certain education that someone would need to become a nurse?
Ideally, the American Nurses Association would like to see Bachelor of Science of Nursing as the entry level nursing. Right now, there are currently still licensed practical or licensed vocational nursing programs. They work less in the hospital setting and more in nursing homes or outpatient clinics. Then there's associate degree programs still that those nurses can work in settings in the hospital, also in the outpatient setting. And then the bachelor's is ultimately the goal, for institutions or hospitals would prefer that. And then many, many nurses now go back very quickly, probably in less than 10 years, to get a master's of nursing or an advanced practice nurse or our nurse practitioners. They have more autonomy. They can directly treat patient orders, diagnostic tests, do procedures, and also order medications. They're highly trained, and I work with phenomenal nurse practitioners at this point too.
Wow, that is absolutely awesome, certainly. So it seems like, and I think you touched on this before, continuous learning is certainly an aspect of being a nurse, it sounds like.
It is, and it should be, because things change very, very quickly. Things that I did as a newer nurse are no longer acceptable treatments. We've gotten better. Our patients have gotten somewhat sicker, and they're managed outside of the hospital where you used to be an inpatient. Now we're sending people home with some challenging medical conditions, medical devices that families have to learn to take care of patients that they never thought they would. So we educate the families as much as possible. And I didn't touch on, there's also Doctor of Nursing programs, and those are usually your nurses that teach the newer nurses. They work in clinical settings. Many do research. It's just the highest level of education for nurses is your doctoral program or DNP.
Wow, that is amazing. I know at both Seton Hall here and St. Francis College, Ryan, we have incredible nursing programs with some doctors and nurses there. So it sounds like I'm inferring, I mean, you're certainly incredibly competent, Margo. That's one of the reasons we've chosen you this morning for our interview. But have you had any mentors in your career, and have they been helpful to you at all?
I've had phenomenal mentors. When I started nursing, I was only 22 years old when I had my first
Oh.
job in the hospital. And most of the nurses at that time had more than 10 to 20 years experience. They were highly seasoned, somewhat intimidating. I certainly, they made it very clear that I was not of their nursing quality. I had some that were very, very kind to me, shared their knowledge very, very graciously, would find situations that were teachable moments and pull you in and say, you may not see this again for a while, so I want you to see it. And really, really taught me with a lot of patience, because I'm sure I was challenging being new. They were excellent. I mean, I can name still to this day, Nancy Brown, Celeste, Kathy Lindsay, Lynn Molinaro, like these nurses that had, some are still working decades of experience. And I think that's a little bit more of a challenge for the newer nurses now. Nurses with more experience are leaving the bedside. It's a physical job. COVID made some of those changes because there was a little bit more burnout during that time. And it's being studied now, but the job satisfaction that nurses had before is a little bit less. And when I started, I would have 3 to 4 patients to myself in the emergency room. Now it's 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 in some of the less staffed and busier hospitals. So the care you give is maybe not always as good as you want it to be, which is somewhat self-defeating. And I think the hospitals are trying to address that, and the salaries ha are reflective of that now a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I had phenomenal mentors, and even to this day, I'll ask somebody with experience, like, I haven't seen this before. Can you come look at it with me?
Oh, that's
We
terrific.
rely on each other for sure.
Yeah. Just so our listeners know, Celeste is my wonderful sister, Celeste Cellini, who referred
An
actually Margot
amazing
to be
nurse.
interviewed. Absolutely. Absolutely. An amazing sister as well. It is so clear, Margot, you love, love, love being a nurse. What are some of these things that you love about nursing?
I think as a person, I tend to root for the underdog. So I like to see this challenging situation and find a way with the person who's enduring it to get out of it and get into a better place. And so I think it's almost, and I also enjoy like the detective work. So when I would be in triage, I would guess what I thought was going on and then follow the chart and follow the patient, follow the diagnostics to see if I was right or wrong. And if I was wrong, how could I have missed it? Or how could I next time be more prepared thinking a differential diagnosis versus what I thought it was based on anecdotal evidence, not based on always evidence. That's another very big area of nursing now is evidence-based nursing. So it takes away some of your preconceived notions and replaces it with fact. So I love that challenge. I think as you continue in your career of nursing, when you're younger, you want to intervene, do the big procedures, and save everyone. And when you become a little bit more seasoned, there's some grace in knowing that we might not be able to fix this. So how can I support that person or that family during a really difficult time and make it less difficult? So it's kind of twofold. Those are the things that make me excited to still be a nurse, is that there's something to learn, there's something to do, and maybe there's a different way to do it and do it better than I did it the last time.
Wow, that is so beautiful, certainly. Now, whether you're a Franciscan brother or whether you're a nurse, there's no perfect vocation. What would you say are a couple of biggest challenges about being a nurse? I think you inferred a couple before, but let's peel the onion on those, please, Margot.
Some of it is most of the institutions do 12-hour shifts. So you're working at least 12, 12 and a half hours, weekends, nights, and holidays. So if you have a
Wow.
family, you might miss some of the time with your family. And I have an awesome family. And so we would sometimes celebrate the week before Christmas or the day after Christmas, or they would tolerate that I was sleepy and maybe grouchy because I worked a lot of night shifts that I might not be at my best during the holiday. So you, as a nurse, you may miss things at your children's school if you have children, because they are during the hours that you work. You might miss sports activities. You definitely are tired at the end of the day, or at least most of the time I am. So there are those challenges. You miss time with your family because of the length of the shift, and also because on Christmas, people still get sick. So someone has to
Sure.
be there working.
Yeah, this is so fascinating because I'm just thinking about when you're talking about the physical, but also the mental, the emotional, the spiritual draining, if you will, of energy, the investment you need to make in all these areas. And it would be very understandable you'd be exhausted at the end of a 12-hour, not an 8-hour, not a 9, but a 12-hour shift. Wow, that is certainly amazing. Now, today being May the 6th, next weekend already, hard to believe, is Mother's Day weekend. And if I understand correct, you're blessed with not one but two sons, Margo, is that right?
I am. I have two wonderful children, a phenomenal husband who's super supportive of my nursing career, my in general, my life, and has allowed me at times to work part-time as opposed to full-time because as a family, they've been wonderful. My children are adults, so my career is much easier now than when they were little because the school days in the summer, having the kids home in the summer made working a little bit more challenging, but with adult children, it's much, much, much easier to work than it is when you have young kids at home.
Wow, good to know, certainly, that they've grown now. Now, I'd be curious, it sounds like being a nurse, you learn so much. Are there a couple of key lessons that you've learned being a nurse?
I mean, being a nurse, it humbles you seeing patients go through certain things. You learn empathy, or at least you should learn empathy and compassion. And working for the Sisters of Charity at St. Joe's, you should learn compassion. It taught me to be very grateful for my health, my living in a safe environment, having my own home, not be I we had a tremendous amount of patients who were challenged for food security, for homes.
Oh.
Their own personal safety was very threatened. And then in oncology, people's health are threatened. So I'm very, very grateful. It has taught me gratitude for sure.
Wow, that is totally amazing. And it's interesting because since becoming a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn, I have come to see more, especially now that our campus has moved from Brooklyn Heights to downtown Brooklyn. And I get to see firsthand some of the despair in the world. And you're right, it does make me much more grateful for the roof over the head, the dinner that I have, et cetera, which not everybody has. That's for sure. I have a feeling, Margo, you've motivated at least one, if not many more, of our listeners to become interested, especially we have a lot of young listeners, and thank God for Monday, interested in pursuing a career in nursing. What should some of the first steps be?
If you can, if you know a nurse, you can absolutely have that kind of dialogue. If you have the ability to, if you have any family members that are having any health issues, going with them to any of their appointments or speaking to their healthcare team, you'll get a sense of what nurses do. It's very dynamic. You have school nurses, so if you're a parent, you may interact with a school nurse. I would highly recommend doing some research. The science classes can be challenging, so you have to look within yourself. Do I have the time to put aside to study? Because you'll definitely need to study. The nursing programs sometimes have waits right now because of people going into it and not as many instructors. During COVID, it was very challenging because our nursing students couldn't just come into the hospital. So the schools have gotten better about simulation labs that simulate what you would experience. I had, when I was a licensed practical nurse, I had some amazing nurses say, "Why don't you come to my unit and see what we do?" And they would let me shadow them, so to speak. So if your institution allows that, I would definitely encourage people strongly to try and shadow a nurse. I tell nurses, if you're interested in a certain area, try to meet with their nurse manager or someone who works there. And if they'll let you observe, that's to me, a great way to find something that you didn't think you might like and that you might like it.
Oh,
You
that
don't
is
have to
awesome.
only be in a hospital setting. I guess that's kind of what you can look. There's other areas. Visiting nurses, go to people's homes. Hospice nurses are angels on this earth, taking care of people as they die and supporting them and their family. There's the complete opposite spectrum, pediatric nursing. There are so many areas that you can work. It's not just one place.
Oh, that is such a beautiful aspect of the nursing vocation. The what can be is infinite, no doubt about that. just have a couple of minutes, but two very important questions to ask you. National Nurses Week starting today, ending Friday, May 12th. How do you recommend our little listeners and Greg celebrate National Nurses Week?
Honestly, I feel like a heartfelt thank you, or putting pen to paper and saying, I appreciated when you did this, or you were there during a time that was difficult, and I remember that. Just a thank you is really, really significant. And, as I said, the institutions are getting a little bit better about valuing their nurses, or at least that's my perception at the institution I'm at now. They support their nurses, they educate their nurses, and they compensate their nurses, which is a big deal because you have to be able to pay your bills. You may love
Sure.
nursing, but you still have to pay your bills.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, listeners, and this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to find some special nurses. All of them are special, certainly, but I'm going to find some nurses to say thank you to, because they've done so much for me, and I would probably think for you and the world as well. Margo, in case any of our loyal listeners want to contact you, you've given us so many nuggets this last half hour. Is there a best way, maybe an email that they can contact you on?
Absolutely. My personal email is team, TEAM, Scudillo, SCU, D as in David, ILLO, at optoptonline.net. And I'm
Okay.
also on LinkedIn, if there's any nursing students with my name, Margo Scudillo, and I'd be happy to talk to any potential nurses or nursing students or anybody that wanted to talk nursing. It's kind of my comfort zone.
Terrific. Margo Scadillo, we can't thank you enough for being our very, very special guest on Thank God for Monday this morning as we start National Nurses Week. You've enlightened us about the profession very much. You've inspired us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a calm, being a soothing balm for the world. And you've really inspired me to say thank you to our nurses. And listeners, let me speak a little bit more about that. Margo is a great Franciscan. She could have held on to the good. She didn't have to come on Thank God for Monday this morning. She did. She shared the good. Now it's our turn to share our thanks, our Franciscan gratitude to the nurses that we know, and say thank you for all the great work that they've done to make the world a better place to live. Margo, again, many thanks. Have a great, great week. Certainly an early happy Mother's Day as well.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. It was lovely to speak with you.
Oh, the pleasure was all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Margot does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. And again, enjoy National Nurses Week.